I say for you to shout for joy. Anybody want to shout for joy? Oh, come on. It ain't that I don't have joy. It is because I got joy. I'm going to shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Anybody in the house say, I want to shout for joy. I want to give God some praise. I want to magnify his name. Anybody want to praise God and say, Lord, I'm with you. I'm here to let you know I love you. I'm shouting for joy. Somebody in the house say, after all I've been through, I still have joy. Anybody got joy? I got joy in my soul. He said that I give you my joy so that your joy might be full. See, you don't need no more money, but what you need is joy. You don't need no more friends. What you need is joy. You don't need a better job. What you need is joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the can't take it away. Anybody got joy? Say, I got joy. He said, I give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, what was he saying there? He said, I give you the kind of joy that you can't really express, not in words, but this kind of joy makes me jump. This kind of joy makes me want to run. Ain't nobody chasing. This kind of joy make me want to dance. Somebody in the house, do you have joy? This kind of joy. Oh, come on and give him glory. If you got this joy, you ought to praise him. If you got this joy, you ought to lift him. If you got this joy, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I have joy. Tell your neighbor, won't God give you joy? Say, neighbor, say, oh, neighbor, do you have joy? I got so much joy that my joy is running over. Oh, come on and say amen. You know, I love to see those people that when you see them, they make you smile. They talk, they make you laugh. When they laugh, you just start laughing. Oh, come on and say amen here. See, when the devil try to do something, you need to just get your tickle box front over and say, I got joy. I know you lied on me, devil, but I got joy. I know you talked about me, liar, but I got joy. I know you want me to be sick and depressed, but I got joy. Anybody got joy? Say yeah. Say yeah. I got joy. Joy unspeakable. This kind of joy you can't buy it at Walmart. This kind of joy you can't win it at the boat. You gotta be given to you by the Lord. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Jesus said, this joy I give. He said, I'm giving it so your joy remains and that your joy be full. He said, I don't want you ever to be void of having this joy, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I don't feel strong, Pastor. I feel like...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Hebrews chapter 12. And I don't know where I'm going to stop, but let me just read verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, being the best you can be. Being the best you can be. The writer of the Hebrews is suggesting to us that we have witnesses and we have examples who have gone on before us that challenges us to meet the high standard that God has set for the believer. To understand that trials, troubles, problems, issues, sicknesses, and other things will come to you to bring out the best in you so that God can tune and tweak you to be the best that you can be. It's about seeing you the way God sees you. It's about understanding the purpose of God for your life and understanding that you were made for his glory, that you were made to make his praise glorious, that you were made to give him the glory and honor due his name through your life. He didn't give you your life for you. He gave you your life for him. You were created in his image and in his likeness to have the fullness of him inside of you to be and to become everything he wanted your life to be. He purposed you to be you, to be different from anyone else, to be what he has called you to be. He has tempered you to be able to deal with and to handle every situation that comes before your life because of who he made you to be. Excuse me. When the believer begins to understand God's purpose for his or her life, and when they recognize the issues that come against them are ordained by God, that God himself, through those things, is using them to perfect you, make you the best you that you can be, then you'll stop pouting and start praising. You'll stop questioning God as if God does not know what's happening to you, does not know what is going on with you, does not know what you're dealing with, you'll stop questioning God as if to say, God, do you know who I am? Do you know my strengths and my abilities, and I'm not able to handle what I'm dealing with right now, and you promised you wouldn't put more on me than I could bear? God, this appears to be more than I can handle. Not so, not so, not so. But the truth of the matter is, God wants you to realize you are stronger and better than you know yourself, and it's going to take these things to bring it out you. I'm going to show you three things in this verse. Simple things that the writer of the Hebrew wants us to realize. First of all, he brings to mind a record of witnesses. He reminds us of a record of witnesses. He says, wherefore seeing. Now, these two words are so important. If you miss these two, you're going to probably miss the rest of what's going on in this verse. Wherefore seeing. Listen, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, writer, what witnesses are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Back up to the 11th chapter. And we call it the Hero of Faith, the Faith's Hall of Fame. And you'll see it includes these heroes of faith, these men and women who have gone through troubles and trials, tests and situations, circumstances, and all sorts of things that would seem to be ungodly and unrighteous, but God gave them the ability to go through, to bring them into a different place, to mature them, to develop them, and to make them what they ought to be. So much so that if you have any question, just read chapter 11, starting with Abel, and you'll walk all the way through and see all of the witnesses of faith that God has challenged, that God has used, that God has caused to go through things that none had ever gone through before. Deal with things that others had never dealt with before. Many of them were the first of their own experiences. And their faith brought them through. God, through their situations and challenges, made them who they were. And for the believer today, you need to know that these are witnesses for us. See, why is the writer saying that? Because too many Christians are weak and fearful and whiny and fretful and baby-like and act like they don't know the power of God, like there's no one that they can look to even begin to understand their situation and their plight. But here in the word, the record is, seeing we have these witnesses. So what does it say? All you got to do is look back through those witnesses, and I promise you, you'll find somebody that has gone through something worse than you're going through. And if they're going through what they've gone through and made it out of it, God is saying, you can do the same thing. That's the reason they're witnesses for you. That's the reason they're there for you, so that you will have a record of witnesses who have already gone through and more than what you're going through. So a record of witnesses. Whenever you get to that point where you just feel like throwing in the towel and waving the white flag of surrender. Whenever you get to that point where you done cried your eyes out and it just seemed like no help is near, whenever you get to that point where it's like nobody you can tell because nobody understands, whenever you get to that point where you feel like you're so sick and don't know what to do, all you got to do is check out the witnesses who have been there before you did that and now are in the Hall of Fame because their faith did not fail them. A record of witnesses. Why are they there? To help us. But we've got to see them. Wherefore, seeing. That word, continually processing the situation of sight. Seeing. That means you can't just use it one time. Because you ain't going to just have issues one time. That's why the word is not given to us and disappears after one time. It's there for us to go back to over and over and over again. And every time you go back to it, it gets deeper and deeper and reveals more and more and shows us more and more. Because as we continue to see, God shows us more. How many of you read something the first time, didn't understand, and went back, read again, and started to understand it a little more, read it again, understand a little more, kept on going back and kept on seeing more? Any witnesses in the house? You don't know all there is to know about the Word of God. But the more you go back and the more you see, the more God will show you over and over again. Wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the second thing he says for us to do, I see in the text, he makes clear as he talks about this issue of weights, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. So now he's talking about the reality of weights. What is the reality of weights? I'm glad you asked. Weights hold you down. Weights add to your load. Weight makes things heavier. Weights carry more than you are required to carry. And so notice here, this is put actually in a training modem here, because what it literally talks about are athletes who train for the Olympics, who use weights to add to their bodies to help build their muscles up, their strength up, their stamina up, their speed up. They wear the weights in training to weigh them down, to grab force and add more force against their pulling and their struggling to make the muscles work harder and to get the optimal performance out of all of the muscle groups. So the weights are there to add to them the resistance that's necessary to give greater strength and stamina and speed to the athlete. But listen at this. They only practice with the weights. They don't run the weight, run the race with the weights. They continue, listen, day after day after day until their body gets adjusted to the weights, and the weights then begin to seem like they're not even there, and then they add more weights to build up more resistance, and all the while building up their strength, building up their stamina, building up their speed. But there is a purpose to that. It's training so that they can endure the race. You see, my brothers and sisters, what you don't understand is like that in this world, we are encumbered with weights. All sorts of weights. Little weights, big weights, light weights, heavy weights. Weights that we know are there, weights that we do not know are there. But nonetheless, they weigh us down. And he's dealing with this issue because the believer has got to understand that we are in a race. This world is not our home. We're here for a limited time. We have a purpose while we are here, and we are preparing for heaven. So this is our training ground. And so while these weights are on us, we are learning from these weights. And when we learn the lesson of these weights, we lay these weights aside. No longer do we need to carry them when we have gotten the benefits of having had the weights. We're not to live with the weights. We're to train with the weights. And once we have reached the optimal training, the weights no longer do us any good. Listen. So many believers don't understand that there are some weights we are carrying. Once we have learned the lesson of the weights, we no longer need to carry those weights. Lay them aside. They're not doing you any good anymore. Because you reach a point there where your muscles have optimized and gotten the best of the benefit of it, and it reaches a point of no more benefit. Well, when it reaches a point of no more benefit, what's the use in carrying it? And some of us don't realize the enemy puts weights on us. And we are weighted down as victims. Enemy has thrown weights on us, and we will have weights thrown on us as victims. Need you to know that. There are weights the enemy puts on us. We didn't ask for weights that the enemy throws on us, that we discover we've been weighted down but don't know why, because we've not done those things to know why we were weighted down. But when we discover why we're weighted down, it's our responsibility to lay that weight aside. Listen, once you lay that weight aside, you can no longer be placed in the position of being a victim again. If you allow the weight to come back on you, you're no longer a victim, but a volunteer. And some of us need to realize we're bearing weights not as victims, but as volunteers. Listen, when I know better, it's my responsibility to do better. I'm no longer a victim because I have seen the light. And if I've seen the light, I no longer walk in darkness. If I no longer walk in darkness, I no longer need the weight. So I've got to lay the weight aside. If I keep on carrying the weight, I'm simply a volunteer. See, people, you got to come to the reality of weights and understand if you carry the weight of being misused, the first time you're misused, you're a victim. I'm about to knock on somebody's door now. But the next time you are done wrong, mistreated, misused, and abused, you're no longer a victim, you're a volunteer. See, because the first time could have been a mistake. The first time could have been a mishap. The first time could have been a slip. But if it happens again, it ain't going to be what you think is going to be. See, because after then, I'm no longer a volunteer. Listen at this, and I'm serious about this. I'm sincere about this. God has not put you anywhere to be victimized, especially as a child of God. You've got to go through some things, yes. You're going to have some issues and some differences, yes. But you've got to know the difference between difference and being victimized. Now, I think you can apply that where it needs to be applied. Notice here, he deals with the reality of weights, and then he connects the conjunction in the word and to the sin. The sin. The sin that doth so easily beset us. Now let me say this while you're sitting here in church looking holy and pious and saintly and godly and all of that good stuff. And you all of that. That's true. But don't act like you ain't got a sin. When David got to praying and he had confessed all his sins, he said, Lord, let me be real with you. I got some secret sins. And every one of us deal with a secret sin. It's so secret we try to hide it from ourselves. We only look at it when we're by ourselves or with the sharer of our secret sin. It ain't a sin we want to publish. It isn't a sin we want to share and talk about. It isn't a sin that would make us look good. It's a sin that would deflower our morals and bring down our character. It's a sin that readily takes us off of our soapbox, off of our high pillow. It's a sin that makes folks see I ain't holy 24/7. It's a sin I can't be around too long because I get weak like Kryptonite to Superman. It's a sin that if it's around, I got to get from around it because all of the symptoms of that sin start showing on me. My palms get sweaty. My brow gets sweaty. My liver starts quivering. My feet get light. And I start acting funny. Can't keep my seat. Now, you know I'm talking about the sin that doth so easily beset you. Now listen at this. Some of you who are sitting there acting all pious and won't smile right now, I know I'm in your closet. I know I'm thumbing through your stuff right now. You trying to act like I ain't talking to you and you the main one. Somebody know about your sin. Listen, but the reality of the weights, and you got to look at that. If you don't get rid of them, they will get rid of you. If you don't lay it aside, it will lay you aside. If you don't handle up on it, it will handle up on you. The weight that doth so, I mean, it's the one that'll mess you up when all of the rest of it don't bother you. It's that one sin that's that taboo. It's that one sin that makes you weak. It's that one sin that the enemy uses as his trump card. Listen to what the word said. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. We got to lay away the weight, and we got to lay away the sin. Now, I didn't say put it in layaway. I meant lay it aside. Lay it away. Listen. If it so easily beset you, It literally means it surrounds you and brings trouble and conflict and confusion on every side. It's where trouble seems everywhere you turn to be. When it talks about besetting you, it means no matter which way you turn, that sin is right there looking at you. No matter where you go, the sin is right there. It